Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm still hanging in with this bug, whatever it is.
You still got the bug?
Going on for weeks here.
You sure you're not just trying to solicit some free care?
I need some soup. That's what
you
I need.
You need some soup? Okay, so we've had a couple of chefs on here. I'm surprised we don't have food just, you know, catered already on this show.
We try and lay enough hints, but they just don't pick them up.
I'm going to have you, like, increase the size of the station so we can have a green room. And you
That's
know,
right.
Treat some people. So, well, I'm sorry that you're not feeling too good. I told you, and I'll tell everybody, because I seem to share this, and there's a lot of people that have already heard me say this, so I apologize for doing it for the millionth time. A couple of years ago, I had a chef who was a client of mine. We did a restaurant for them, 90210, up in Glendale.
What a great name.
90210. Do you believe that? I had nothing to do with it, but it was an amazing. It was French, Vietnamese, California cuisine.
Love it.
And the thing about it is we were opening their first location in December of, oh my gosh, about 6 or 7 years ago. We opened about 5 restaurants for them in 3 years. But I was sicker than a dog. And we were opening not one restaurant, but 2 restaurants.
Yeah,
one of them was like 3,800 square feet and up in L.A., and it was Christmas season at the Glendale Galleria.
No time to stop.
It's like a bad script somebody needs to write. Yeah?
Yeah.
And so I was sicker than a dog. And this lady that was like, 4 foot nothing, the chef with the red streaks in her hair, walks up, Chef Kimmy Tang. She walks up to me, and she gives me this thing that looked like the container they give you when you take home soup that you didn't eat at the restaurant. And it was a styrofoam container, and I'm like, what the heck is this thing she's handing me? And it was brown, and it had stuff floating in it. And I'm like, she says, drink that. I go, what is it? I go, she goes, drink it. I said, okay, fine, whatever. And I drank it, and it felt really good. It turns out that it was boiled Coca-Cola with fresh ginger grated in it.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
Crazy, right? So I said, what is this? She goes, 2,000-year-old Chinese recipe. I said, Coca-Cola, 2,000-year-old Chinese recipe? How is that possible? So it turns out that, in fact, there has been a recipe, and it ended up being Coca-Cola, but I do it now with just water, where you grate fresh ginger.
I used to do it with just the cocoa. But that's okay.
You're having flashbacks again.
Okay.
did Paul disclose to you guys that
I'm a little hippie?
Okay. All right. Well, it's happening. So it'll be on the second half probably of the show if his timing is accurate. So anyway, so it turns out that water and sugar boiled and with fresh ginger in it is actually sort of a foo instead of flu fighter, for the winter. And it's something that is very much known. In fact, in certain parts of Asia, only is it in winter that they basically, and they only serve that drink hot. So
why are you telling all this to me now? It's too late. I'm already
I know.
Sick.
You know what? I told you, but you don't listen. Oh, I'm sorry. I sound like your wife there.
No, and my parents.
And your parents and your kids.
And my clients.
Right. I will share this with everybody because it works like a charm for me, and I've been doing it since then. What I do is I actually will grate about an inch of fresh ginger from, like, Trader Joe's. Into a mug and put water in it, microwave it as hot as you can, and drink about 2 of those a day and 1 at night. And the secret ingredient is really the ginger, which is very good for your cardiovascular and for your breathing, all your sinuses and all that stuff. And it clears the heck out of it. And honest to God, 2 a day plus 1 at night, if you can, your bladder can handle you having that much liquid in you overnight. Because it is an aging show, so I'm being sensitive, right? But within 3 days, you're done. So
now we just had somebody else in one of our other shows, and they told me their prescription was similar, but they juice an entire onion, and you take the juice of that onion, and you do it the same thing. You put it in really hot water or whatever, and that they claim that sucks out all the.
Well, pretty much stuff. Anything you put like that. That's whether it's ginger is okay. It's actually it's very spicy a taste. Some people need to develop an acquired taste for it, but you can always doctor it with a little honey. You can doctor it with lemon. right?
How about Irish?
And of course, I was just setting you up. That was kind of like a lob right there, right? Or Irish whiskey, right? And then it becomes a hot toddy of sorts, right, with ginger.
Exactly.
So,
well, that was a long introduction. I'll focus on my flu here.
Well, no, because no. Again, you forget. I bring it back around, right?
You do.
Okay, I do bring it back around. Well, it's because I was trying to take care of you.
Oh.
Okay.
And that's what this show's about,
and
taking
care of people. The show today is about caring and taking care of people. And some of this stuff, unlike, although I don't know, I got to talk to your wife. You know, how are you when you get taken care of? Are you a good patient or a bad patient?
I'm a bad patient.
You're a bad patient. Okay. So
whine.
So it's not the easiest thing. And this is an aging show, and we a big part of what we are all facing these days is this, reality that we have to either prepare for our own care.
Who's going to take care
of
us?
Or we have to take care of our parents or some significant other. You know, it varies. There's not really a one model in a way. And everybody's own dynamics, family dynamics, personalities, whatever. So there are people out there that are
that can help.
Good, and there are people that are just not maybe the best that can actually help you in navigating those waters. And it's a very overwhelming process, in most cases not really prepared for either.
Yes.
So you avoid it until you are basically faced by it and cannot do anything but face it. And now you got to basically do it with a 3-4 day or whatever. And I'm going to introduce my guest here because it's really, it's one of those things where sometimes...
And he and I were talking before you came, because you always come flying in at the last minute, and he has a fascinating story of how he got into this in his own.
Which we've always said that when it comes to seniors and care, it tends to... It's our experience on this show, and I was aging in place. I got certified in 2008. I hadn't been really involved in the senior industry up to that point, but it seems like everybody who is in this has sort of a personal draw that pulled them into it.
Yes.
They had a personal experience with a family member and then found out that there was such a lack and a need, if you will, to provide this kind of support that they ended up basically changing either career paths or developing sort of a passion to help.
Because it's an eye-opener. As I've said in 100 of these 99 episodes you've done here, I didn't think about any of these issues. I just turned 60.
Has it really been 199 episodes?
Well, it's been a lot. And I didn't think of it. I just turned 60 this weekend. Yay, yippee.
Happy birthday, Paul.
Happy birthday, Paul.
Okay, should we take a minute? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. State your name. Happy birthday to you.
And I didn't think of any of this stuff until I'm an only child, until my own parents suddenly got ill and both passed away in relatively short order, one after the other. And wow, what an eye-opener. The cost, the emotions, the roller coaster, the things I didn't know. What do you mean nobody pays for this? What do you mean it costs $10,000 a month? What do you mean there's no options available here? What do you mean? And it's, you can't just do it logically because mom and dad don't want to do any of these things, and then you feel guilty and you feel bad, and wow, I've been converted to the cause here because of what I went through, and I feel like nobody my age.
Well, personal experience is the ultimate, right? A reality check. I mean, I remember when I first started in 2008. The only reason I kind of got really pulled into it is this gentleman by the name of Ryan Malone, who basically has Insight Elder Care. And he was in his 30s, and he was a later child. Mm-hmm. So he was dealing with the stuff for his mom, and he's sort of, computer, generation, Gen X, not even Gen X, or Gen Y. And he basically looked around, and all he could find was this very academic, heavy kind of way of trying to guide and find information of what he can do and what he can't do. And he was having to make decisions that were, not necessarily life-changing decisions for his mom. And he had nowhere to go. So he started a blog, what he knew, and started putting things on there. And it's still ongoing. He's a successful technology professional with his own company. But it fascinates me that the Inside Elder Care blog is still up there. And on occasion, it's almost like a log. He'll put something in there, a dear diary kind of thing, And I'm sure, I haven't talked to him in a little bit. I'm not sure if his mother is still with us or not.
Well, you've exceeded the limits, 15 minutes. So we got to bring your guest.
Well, our guest today, we're all very passionate about this.
Yes.
Right? My guest today is Dan Siegel from Optimal Senior Care. And he is accompanied by the lovely Perry Behar from Bankers Life. And I'm going to let them introduce themselves. And as we usually do, you can't just give me the resume bio. You got to tell us how you
tell
ended
me the
up,
story.
What's the story? How are you involved? Why are you involved?
And I know Dan, sir. I didn't hear Perry's story, but I know Dan's story. And that's why I think
we'll start with
like,
Dan, because I didn't hear it. Shame on you for starting a show without me.
Okay,
go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And given the opportunity to talk a little bit about what I do and how I came to what I do. Like Brad had said, I, you know, and many people in this industry, I do have a personal story, and I found that to be pretty consistent. First off, we're all impacted by this if we have parents or if we have other relatives who are aging, and we all do. So everybody's going to be impacted by this. My personal experience came from having two parents who retired to Palm Desert, and life was going to be good in retirement, and it didn't really work out that way. They both started to fail in their health kind of simultaneously. So what was going to be a kind of a nice, relaxing retirement for both parents turned into this really rapid decline.
And you said that they were vegetarians.
Yeah, my father was, and he was the one who was going to probably be the survivor and take care of my mom. That was their plan. And it kind of got flipped around. He ended up with a neurological disease called Lewy body dementia, which is a movement disorder like Parkinson's and a dementia.
Oh, my God. Dementia and Parkinson's. My mother had Parkinson's.
It's the worst. They're all bad.
And you said your dad was this big, cool guy who had some cool job. What did he do in the music business?
Yeah, he was a vice president for Saul Zant's company up in Berkeley, which is a movie company. They produced Amadeus and English Patient and things like that. He was in the music business for years before that, so he had a pretty stimulating job. And he worked till he was 74, 75 to enjoy his retirement, but he quickly started to fail. So my personal experience
was... And your mother, I'm sorry, had COPD?
She had COPD, and
so
she
was going to take care of her.
Yeah.
And, right.
So so their plan was, dad's going to live to 120, mom's probably not going to live that long. She was just not a very healthy person. And it quickly got flipped around where he went down very quickly with this neurological disorder and dementia. And then my mom was having her ongoing problems. So this was all occurring. And as you know, I'm one of three children. Mm. My sister, which is usually the case, the daughter, takes the brunt of it, of managing the parents' care. And so it became a crisis very quickly. What are we going to do with them? How are we going to help them? Something's wrong. They were falling. There was issues happening. Just all the things that become apparent when people are starting to fail in health. And so we immediately, got some outside help in the form of caregivers. Now, at the time, this is going back about 10, 15 years ago, there really wasn't an industry of home care service providers.
Absolutely.
It was very much a cottage industry of just independent people providing care with no regulation, no training.
Absolutely.
So it was very much of that kind of a thing. You find somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody.
Who's doing this, right?
Yeah, and that's what we did. So we found my sister, taking the lead on it, found some caregivers to come in. And then that's when we became aware that my dad had a long-term care insurance policy, which was really nice. He was a very good planner. And so I became acquainted with long-term care insurance at the same time.
That's miraculous because most people don't
know.
Was that something that, Dan, we talked about this a couple of shows ago. Was this something that he got through basically work? Was that part of a package, or did he go, did he go out and get it himself?
He got it himself.
Oh, interesting.
He was just a very well planned. He had a trust in everything that we're told to do now, he did. He had he had a trust formed. He had, everything, organized. But it brought forth the idea that, number one, is that, there is a need and a growing need for home care.
Right.
Because as you age, you have options as far as where you're going to do this. Most people want to stay at home, and you can stay at home, and it's really a matter of economics. I mean, you can stay at home.
Right.
You can turn your house into a hospital.
Right.
Technically you can, but it's a matter of cost. So it's a matter of what kind of services can you bring in. So we became familiar with the caregiving industry, if you will, as a consumer of it.
Mm-hmm.
So my story was that as they aged and went through that process, we experienced home care, live-in help, 24/7 care. We moved my folks into assisted living at one point, memory care, and then board and care, and then eventually my mom moved in with my sister at the end of it all.
Yeah.
And we spent through their entire estate taking care of them.
Which I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but it was well in excess of $1 million. I mean, you blew through a lot of money.
Yeah.
Now, here's the two takeaways that just scare the life out of me. One, your dad did what most of us aren't doing. He thought it through. He planned it all. And yet, he still couldn't predict that he, this healthy person, was going to suddenly out of the blue get this neurological disease.
Yeah.
And who was going to take it? One thing he never planned for was he was going to fail.
That's right.
And so you still went through the whole estate even with the health, with the long-term care insurance in place?
Yeah, well, it contributed to the cost. I mean, the covering the cost significantly. But we still,
Because
as Perry will tell you, there are certain these policies have limitations and they have certain caps and things like that. So they don't they're something that helps cover the cost. In some cases, they cover all the costs. In some cases, if the cost is like for 24/7, it probably won't. But I can't speak to that. So
The reason I bring it up, Dan, is because there's no magic bullet. There's no easy solution, and it really is something that you have to proactively be involved in. You can't just basically, I'm just going to take care of this.
Yeah, I got it covered.
Right. That's why I kind of asked that. Yeah.
So here's a guy who really thought it through, and yet still couldn't predict in the end what would happen, and it still cost everything and then some that he held together.
And then he saw his children rallying around him, with my sister taking the brunt of it. I moved down here from Sacramento, left my career basically, and started a new life down here to be closer to help with this whole process of moving him. I was retaining some of my work as a consultant, but I was able to to relocate. And one of the things my father saw all this activity around them of his kids, and one of the last things he actually said was, "I should have had more kids."
Yeah,
that was kind of an interesting comment. Yeah.
Well, it goes back to that old scenario, right, where people had a lot of kids because that's what you did.
And then Perry had said this earlier off air that, I'm an only child. He had three children. Sometimes it doesn't matter how many kids you have because the kids don't want to face us, or they start fighting about it.
Yeah.
Or, we can't blow through the money. Well, mom doesn't want to do this. Well, dad doesn't want to do that. Well, I'm not going to take care of him. I got a life.
I hear that. I have a few friends of mine that are going through some of that right now, and it's funny because it's myself and my sister. But I look at some of these dynamics, and it's stresses that are put on the relationship that were never there before that all of a sudden are there.
Cracks start appearing.
Where, think somebody's going to, you can lean on somebody, but they either emotionally, financially, or a combination of different things are not there for you while you're dealing with
it's
with
your parents. You're not ready to handle this. You check out.
Our fallback position with our folks was that at the end of the day, when it came down to like no money left, they were moving in with one of us.
Right. Yeah.
That was the last line. And that's what happened at the very, very end. And, but we were prepared for it, and it actually brought us closer together as brothers and sisters, quite frankly. I know it can split people apart, but in our case, it actually was more of a...
Absolutely. That's another option that happens sometimes as
well. So what then led you to take this on and say, this is going to be my life?
Before we get there, what were you doing up in Sacramento before you...
I was in the healthcare industry for about 30 years. I was in different positions, but I was in sales and marketing as a vice president of business development and marketing for a stem cell company that processed stem cells for regenerative medicine purposes.
Right.
And then I moved down here and then started up a stem cell laboratory for an Asian company that wanted to have a U.S. operation. So I did that for a couple of years as the president and general manager. But at the back of my mind is I wanted to have my own business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what brought me to, well, what am I going to do? What kind of business should I have? I wanted to be sort of in the healthcare arena, if you will, but something that wasn't specifically like a medical device company, because those are capital intensive companies. You have to have millions of
dollars. So what does Optimal Senior Care Solutions do?
You know, we're a home care agency. So essentially what we do is we staff caregivers to work with people in their homes, and in some cases in assisted living facilities. So if you're in need of help with an activity for daily living, that's an industry terminology, you may not need to move to a facility or a nursing home per se. You just might need a little bit of help or a lot of help.
And take a minute to explain what the activities of daily living are.
Activities of daily living are things like dressing, bathing, ambulating or walking, transferring from a chair to a wheelchair or to a walker. It's caring for yourself, for all the personal care type things.
Going to the bathroom, taking a bath.
And there's a reason you actually spelled it out. A lot of times we have people that say, it's ADL, and it's like I just for the listener, that's what it is. It's activity of daily living, bathing.
Yeah. Now there's also incidental activities for daily living. Those are things like shopping, cooking,
Going
other
to the doctor.
Activities that are going to appointments and things like that. And we help people with all those activities. Mm-hmm. So essentially, now, as far as caregiving goes, for everything I'm talking about, the bulk of this is usually provided by a family member.
Mm-hmm.
What we are, we're adjunctive to that. So mm-hmm. if, let's say, the family doesn't live in the same town as the parent, which mm-hmm. is the case these days, mm-hmm. or the family member is just
common,
getting burnt out by doing so much of this themselves. Mm-hmm.
All again, very common.
We can you know, complement what they're doing, mm-hmm. or we can take on the full responsibility of what they need to have done.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically, we can provide as many hours and as higher level of the care as necessary to allow that person to safely remain in their home.
So very customizable.
Yeah, and it's very personal
and
service.
And what do you
too.
Say? We've had a couple of people in here on this show and some others, and they've talked about that this is still kind of the Wild West. This is an emerging area. And I say that because yeah. there are some really good companies. I'm sure yours is one of them. There are some fly-by-night companies.
Yeah.
There are some people who are doing this. Hey, I'm an illegal immigrant, and I'll just pick yeah. up a few bucks on the side, and
yeah.
I'll hire somebody through Craigslist, and
right.
they'll come and do this for
right.
me.
Right. Well, that's a good question here, or a good comment, because we are right now, for the first time, California mm-hmm. has instituted
yep.
licensing for this industry. It's been
didn't
unlicensed
okay. yeah.
and unregulated, and I was shocked by that.
First time.
Because I came from an FDA-regulated mm-hmm. kind of business, and when I looked at this, I said, there's nothing? No, mm-hmm. there isn't. So the good news is that they've just implemented this, which allows the legitimate companies, I'll put it, that follow best practices and
yeah.
how they operate,
yeah.
to meet at least some minimal requirements, which is the amount of insurance you carry, mm-hmm. who you hire, mm-hmm. how you train them, are they TB tested for tuberculosis,
oh,
do they have a criminal record?
Criminal record was one that came up. You're bringing these people in, you have no
yeah.
idea who they are, and they're stealing from these seniors,
right.
they're robbing them blind.
You're dealing with the most vulnerable population that we have, which are people that in some cases have a lot of assets
yep.
and don't have, let's say, the cognitive or the mental ability to manage it. So
right.
you have to be careful. So we've just finally entered in 2016, starting January 1st, licensing is required. Now, because it's a brand new program, all of the companies that are doing what I do, we're in the process of getting licensed, and there's a whole process of registering our caregivers and getting mm-hmm. them, you know, appropriately background checked. We already did all that beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And to give you an example, there's about 300 home care agencies in Orange County, and only about maybe 50 of us belonged to a couple of third-party organizations
mm-hmm.
that provided some level of standards, if
right.
you will.
Mm-hmm.
With licensing coming in, that's really going to be the standard now.
Wow.
And so we're in the process of going through.
And so you're saying there's 300 roughly in the county
or
here
more.
That you know or more.
Yeah.
What about in areas like I have a 91-year-old aunt out in the desert again in Palm Desert or whatever here?
There's hundreds of yeah. home care yeah. agencies. And I can tell you that the bulk of them, I'd say the majority of them aren't going through the licensing process,
right.
and they won't. They'll fly under the radar for as long as they can because
right.
it's expensive.
So it's a cost factor.
It's a cost factor. It's also a compliance yeah. factor.
Well, there's also prior to this required licensing, then there was an issue that a lot of people got caught in when it came to trying to do their own thing, which
mm-hmm.
was in terms of reporting income and collecting taxes and things
oh,
of that
sure.
nature.
It's like,
and a lot of people did not do that.
Right,
and
right, right.
Yeah.
Well, technically, I mean, people still, by the way, this is going on right now in every community in
yeah.
this county, in this country, is that there are caregivers that are working as independent contractors or 1099 employees. By the California state definition of a 1099, none of them qualify. So in essence, the homeowner
is responsible
as the employer, which means that if push came to shove and there was a claim with workers' comp or an unemployment claim,
they're coming after the owner.
They're coming
the
after
homeowner.
They can come after the homeowner and say you owe back taxes.
And am I correct that the homeowners are also liable if these people are here legally or not? Because an awful lot of them are
the
coming
employers.
From
they're the
employers.
They're their employers.
Just like
yeah.
any other
they're
employer.
They're not checking background checks. They're not checking to
no.
see if they're really...
And I brought this up because it's something that I'm still astounded that it still takes place and it doesn't get out enough. That,
mm-hmm.
you know, everybody thinks they're kind of being smart about it. They're
yeah.
being clever about it. But, you know, there's all this stuff that could easily...
Mm-hmm.
Come back
and we're in the state of California, okay? I mean, the word workman's comp is like, you know, as common as good
it's
morning,
very high.
Right? So, you know, if you're out there and you've got an independent contractor as a caregiver, make sure that you really educate yourself about
mm-hmm.
all the responsibilities you as a person and the number of hours and all this
right.
stuff, because they may not qualify as an independent contractor. And in the eyes of the state, you're basically the employer.
They don't qualify under the eyes of the state because they don't meet any of the tests that you need to meet as an independent.
But now even more so.
Well, and the thing is that so it's really left to the homeowner or the client to do it the right way, and they can mm-hmm. set up a payroll system and do the taxes and all that. It's going to add some expense to it and cost. And if they want to be the manager of the caregiver, and that's
I'm just going to interject for a minute, Paul. When I walked in, you handed me a USA Today from the Desert Sun. So I guess mm-hmm. you had a good time in the desert.
I went out to the desert at the condo, and the house I inherited from my parents that we rent out sporadically here. And I picked up the paper, and there, in the lo and behold, is this insert about the coming care crisis.
Yeah, this was from the December 27th, and it talks about caregivers specifically. And I just want to point out the number, because I'm sure that this includes everybody. And it's a U.S. number.
This is U.S. today.
It probably includes independent contractors, anybody who's reported,
family, right.
There's 43.5 million people in the United States that are basically doing caregiving.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. And this is fascinating. 24% of that number is from the age of 18 to 34. I don't know if I was responsible for myself at the age of 30. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, but what I'm saying is, when people are in such a stressful situation and they're facing the need to do this and to find a way and answers and solutions, they're desperate.
Yes.
And so when they're desperate, they're reaching for everything. But in the course of what
street,
you think is a solution,
the
kid down the street, the person down, you know, that's got some time on their hand, you know, so forth. Be careful that you are not only covering yourself legally and what you have you with the taxes, but also that you're not taking on something that you believe is a solution today that becomes even more complications that you have to deal with later.
So let me bring up the ugly thing is money. We'll get my aunt's case here. I always share her story here. So she was a secretary. She's got maybe, I don't know, $20,000 in the bank or something here, and a little tiny pension, a little. Thank God she gets Blue Cross from her insurer. No secretaries anymore get pensions anymore. But she makes a couple $1,000s a month and ekes out a living in a little apartment by herself. And she can still drive and do some things, but it's getting very difficult. She's falling and doing other things, and it's harder and harder for her to walk and do some of these things. And she looks in the cost. She says, I can't afford this, and there's no government program that'll pay for any of this stuff here. Mm-hmm. So she is kind of putting together, her cleaning lady has a cousin, has a kid who will come and take her to the doctor for, you know, $5 or $20 or something, and she's hiring an Uber driver to take her somewhere here, and she's got somebody else that is probably illegal but comes around, cleans the pool in the complex, and they'll run and do some errands for her and other sorts of things. And even still, she's stressing about all this stuff here. So it isn't that she wants to do this. She's trying to be clever. She doesn't know how to do it.
We have gaps in the system. We have huge gaps. I mean, we were talking about this earlier, Paul, when you were talking about, like, the really, really wealthy have, they can take care of themselves. They can self-fund or whatever, self-insure.
Right.
The really, really poor, and that's a definition that is, like, destitute poor in some cases.
Yeah, you have to have less than $2,000 to your...
Social services can come in and help you with in-home support services and things like that. The big chunk of people in the middle class, or in the lower middle class, the higher middle class, we don't have those, you know, we don't have the resources to self-insure, if you will.
Or the net, so to speak.
Yeah, and so we don't have that net. And so that's where, you know, we start talking about the cost. I understand why people use independence or use
this ad hoc group of
just doing what they have to do to get by. I do understand it. But at the same time, you know, they need to be aware of the potential problem. That's all I'm saying.
And it is, I mean, you know, I'm just looking at this as, again, you know, about 85% of caregivers provide care for relatives. 85%.
Yeah.
Okay. 49% do so for a parent. That's 50. 50% of those people are basically caring for a parent, right? And 60% of those caregivers are women.
And we don't live in a society where there is an excess group of people called housewives just sitting around with nothing to do.
Well, no, because the average profile, I remember this was very eye-opening for me a couple of years ago. You know, somebody stood up and was talking and said, you know, average profile is a woman in her 40s to 50s, maybe. Mm-hmm. She's basically still got kids in the house, maybe. Mm-hmm. Your college age. She's still got a job, and she is the primary caregiver and decision maker for that parent.
Mm-hmm. There's a name for that. It's called the sandwich generation.
Sandwich generation. Right. Yeah.
Sandwiched in between parents and kids.
Which became even more obvious during the down economy, because families consolidated the resources, and you had more and more sandwich generation.
So we think about my aunt, for example. My aunt doesn't have any other children. I'm her only living relative, and she moved out to be my parents. My parents died, and she never had any children. So here I, you know, gladly try and help her whatever I can, but she lives a couple hours away. So we said, well, why doesn't she move into our house? Because my daughter has moved out, so there's an upstairs bedroom. It's upstairs. She can't get up and down the stairs. Physically can't do it. What do we do? Take the dining room table out, turn it into a hospital bed?
You pretty much have to make for that. Yeah, when we built the house for my parents in San Clemente, we made sure that the guest bedroom was actually downstairs and that there was no step up, no step down.
Yeah.
You know, this was back in 2000. I wasn't clear in my head of what else we could do, but at least that was there. So let me ask you this, Dan, and I want to bring kind of Perry in here. When you set out to basically put together optimal senior care, okay, with your background, which I found fascinating, you were sort of on the periphery, not necessarily of care, but you were involved in the health industry anyway, right? But still, we were surprised, right? So with what you saw with your own personal experience, what did you want to try to accomplish through this?
Well, what I wanted to accomplish was to create a professionally run type business, because we didn't see that when we were seeking care from parents.
Said.
And I wanted to do it in a way that was highly personalized, because unlike other kinds of businesses and services, this is a case where we're putting people together and they're insinuating themselves in people's homes and their lives.
At the most desperate of times.
Right. Yeah. So I felt that, you know, I wanted this to be a very, very hands-on, personalized service. But I wanted it to be operated at a best practices type level, which means that we follow the right, you know, regulations. We do everything the way a big, you know, much larger company would do it. But we add that element of being very personalized, where I'm involved personally with meeting the clients. That's the best part of having the company. Actually, I get to meet some really interesting people. And I'm very connected to all the caregivers that we hire. I've met every single caregiver that we've ever used or come through the door. So I know who we have. I know who's the right, you know, so I keep very close touch to it. So that's what I wanted to bring to the industry, was something that, you know, it's not like other businesses where you just want to, I mean, you can go scale and scale as big as you want, but you change the nature of your business at that point.
You get too far away from it.
You get too far away. You lose touch with what it's really about. And I think in this particular industry, it's very specific that we don't lose touch, because the people that I deal with are very concerned and worried about their loved ones. They know they can call me, who is the owner and the president of the company, and I've got an open, you know, door policy, so they can come in and talk to me, and I interact with the families all the time.
And are you just here in Orange County, or do you cover other areas?
Just Orange County. Right. You know, we're not a franchise.
And that's very important, I think, to point out, because I think I agree with you. I mean, every business, I think, as it grows, if it's successful, comes to that crossroads where you have to decide whether scale or connectivity with what your primary source product, you know, deliverable is. And it is interesting, because I do commercial interior design. I do interior design. And it's the same thing for me. And I tell my clients the same thing. I say, you know, it's for me, there is an optimal. I don't ever want to be to where I'm not reachable like you. You know, with that open door policy.
Yeah. Yet much of this is turning into a franchise industry. In the desert, they have Visiting Angels. I think that's the name of it.
There's lots of franchises.
They're out there, and we've looked at some of these, and it's just some guy or some woman that bought this franchise.
Well, I heard something about hospitals now getting into it as well as buying out a bunch of daycares.
Well, actually, some of the hospitals are doing things like they're partnering up with agencies, and they're basically doing like almost like private labeling. You know, they're using the agency and they're labeling it under their care, but they're not running it because it's a different kind of business.
Right. It doesn't fit into their model.
And I think, and honestly, I mean, this is self-serving, but I think that in this business, for the client base that we're dealing with, in the situations that they're in, that the business model of being smaller and closer to it is better. Mm-hmm. I think it's better from the standpoint of the experience that the family and the client
the quality
has with us. It's just different because it's a different kind of product that we're selling here.
Yeah.
We're putting people in people's homes that are basically becoming almost like extended family with them. It doesn't fit into the big high-scale model. It just doesn't. I mean, big high-scale models are like staffing agencies. They dispatch people left and right.
It's it's a need-based versus a fit-based. Yeah, it's a need-based versus a fit-based. Yeah. Right. Yeah, well, you know,
let's take a quick commercial, and then we'll bring Perry.
Well, before we do it, go ahead and give out your website.
Oh, it's www.optimalseniorcare.com.
Okay. And we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
If you are like the majority of Americans, you want to continue living in a familiar environment throughout your maturing years. In fact, according to many surveys, 82% of homeowners overwhelmingly prefer to age in place, which means living in their current homes safely, independently, and comfortably, regardless of age or ability level. With over 30 years of combined experience in residential, commercial, hospitality, and destination resorts fields, Your Home for a Lifetime is a company dedicated to empowering you to maintain your quality of life and independence by helping you make your house your home for a lifetime. Do you want to reorganize or remodel your home? Do you want to add a full bathroom and possibly a bedroom on the main floor? Are you looking to make your kitchen more functional? Is an aging parent moving in, or your child is moving out, or even moving back in? Call Your Home for a Lifetime at 949-492-1872 or check them out on the web at yourhomeforalifetime.com and find out how they can help you make your house your home for a lifetime.
Welcome back, everybody. We are welcome to the Rad Life. We just spent the first part of the show talking to Dan Siegel from Optimal Senior Care, and we're about to also introduce Perry Behar from Bankers Life. Dan, before the break, you gave out your website, OptimalSeniorCareSolutions.com, right?
Right.
And I was just saying during the break, one of the things that really kind of jumped at me, because I'm always for being proactive about stuff, right, and not being reactive to it. I think your options, your independent choice ability is much more in the sense of empowerment when you're proactive than reactive. And so when the word care comes up, when caregiving comes up, and comes up all the time on the show and just around us because we're a certain age bracket, I think what is forgotten that care also could start prior to the need for medical care.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an aspect that's very real now because you got a lot of baby boomers that are, you know, the statistics say 50% divorced. You know, there's a companionship component. There's sort of a loneliness component. I was even at a spa show where we were talking about statistics about spa goers, and we were talking about how there's more treatments that happen now, but they're shorter in duration. And yet, because of the disconnect in terms of personal contact, that we live in a society that's very in touch but not really connected, there's a lot of loneliness that's even translating beyond just for the seniors and elderly.
Well,
it's actually across multiple generations.
I did this quote for, I was watching this movie a while ago, Wrestling Hemingway, and it was a film from a couple of years ago with Robert De Niro and, whose name escapes me, the Irish actor. And anyway, they were about two old guys that stumble into each other and find companionship in the senior center. And the one guy's a barber, and he cuts the other guy's hair. And the guy starts crying when he cuts his hair, and he says, why? He says, nobody has touched me in years. And it's like, wow, that just...
Well, but I mean, my point is, when I went to the website to do a little background, you know, PoptimalSeniorCareSolutions.com actually paired in one of your categories, caregiver and companion.
Mm-hmm.
And I was commending you during the break that it isn't something I see at all. This was the first place that I've actually seen it looked at beyond the confines of we are here to provide care and here's
approach,
your bill and, you know, thank you very much. Who next do we serve? Mm-hmm. Now serving number whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it does speak to what you were saying before the break about it being more of a personal fit.
Will it ever become an Uberized model? Not your business, but do you see that a threat coming where people will just do this part-time and go run errands and help somebody go to the bathroom and dress them? And
there's actually a need for that as well.
Yeah.
And we've looked looked at how to do that, and it really has to do with being able to create, there's a critical mass that you have to hit at some point.
To make it viable.
To make it work from a staffing standpoint.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of noodled around with the idea of having an on-call calendar for certain neighborhoods and saying, my guy's going to be here between these hours.
Yeah.
Sign up when you need him to help change a light bulb or do something like
right.
that.
But take you to the doctor.
But you have to hit a certain – it's I'm not sure if it's viable to do it, but we thought about
it. Well, but, you know, we're here in California, so we don't – you know, I look at things that happen on the East Coast sometimes, and it seems to be innovation when it comes to care and seniors and elderly is happening a little bit more in the Midwest and the East mm-hmm. – the East Coast, and there are such things as sort of these collectives, if you will.
Villages,
yeah. right, mm-hmm. which are basically pulling on their own resources and kind of taking care of themselves kind of mm-hmm. thing. So it is interesting, and to Paul's point, you know, I don't know that it's a one-size-fits-all, Paul, mm-hmm. and like Dan was saying, I think there is a place for that. The question will go back to, you know, how do you regulate it mm-hmm. correctly? How do you protect this vulnerable population
yes.
that at the end of the day will be subject.
So how do we bring Perry into this, and what do you offer into the mix? What do you do?
Why don't you introduce yourself, Perry?
I'm Perry Behar. I work for Bankers Life Colonial Penn, and there's only 4 companies in the United States that sell long-term care.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And only 5% of the United States has long-term care.
Right. Now, wasn't long-term care more of a regular part of a package, benefits package, back in the day, you know, when people stayed in companies, or was it always something that was added and you had to buy yourself?
Pretty much. I don't think Chrysler gave my dad, he didn't give my dad a long-term care package, even though he's an executive.
You know who has a lot of long-term care packages? Teachers.
Teachers, interesting.
So it's a union kind of negotiated thing? Interesting.
Yeah, so
okay.
In my business, what I find is, you know, as a baby boomer, so many people wait and wait and wait mm-hmm. and prolong this, mm-hmm. and then they can't qualify.
Yes.
Because after you turn 65, 70% of people need long-term care.
Mm.
And that is a huge number.
Say that again.
I think, you need to say that.
Read that one just shocked me. Okay.
70% of people need long-term care at over the age of 65.
Wow.
And that's a Harvard study. So 1 out of 3, right, 70% mm-hmm. need it. Who has it? A lot of people don't. So they self-insure. And unfortunately, it's expensive. Like Dan mentioned, it's around $22 to $25 in Orange County.
Mm-hmm. An hour.
An hour, right? So that's around $9,000 to $10,000. So here we are. We work all our lives, right? Mm-hmm. And we're collecting all this money mm-hmm. to retire, and mm-hmm. we're using most of this money to take care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. For the most menial, as my father used to say, this is why I scrimped and saved.
For the basic
dignity.
This
is why I paid off the house early, not so I could leave. He grew up dirt poor, so he was going to leave some money to me or somebody. No, so that somebody can change my diapers and take me to the doctor. Here.
Well, it's dignity. It's basic dignity. That you're basically now being paid.
That just galled him that he was going to blow all this money on.
Let's not forget the emotional component of both of those that are going through that and the people that are caring for them. It's not just money. There's also a drain and a stress that comes from that as well, you know, the emotional aspect of it. So your qualifications, you mentioned qualifications, and certain people don't qualify. After what? What are the qualifications?
Okay, so we're a unique company because we specialize in retirement only. Most of our clients are seniors. Mm-hmm. We offer short-term care, which we're the only company in the United States that offers it. Short-term care is very similar to long-term care, but people who have cancer, people who have multiple sclerosis, people who have diabetes with insulin, you can't get long-term care.
Mm.
So here we are.
Oh, interesting.
We got short-term care. Short-term care is not expensive. Maybe it's under $100 a month, usually. And what it offers the people is the same thing as long-term care, but in a shorter duration.
Okay.
Because usually people, for the first 90 to 180 days, is when they need care the most.
Right.
What I find in my business, and I'm part of the management team, and also I specialize in claims, is a lot of kids are working, and they can't just stop and take care of their parents.
Absolutely.
Okay, and like you had mentioned, divorce, 50%. So where do these people go? Do they go to their neighbors who are also in their 80s and 70s to take care of them? Do they go to the churches? What are their outlets? And they don't have many,
mm-hmm.
all right, which is extremely sad. It is a very emotional sale for me because I see people so destitute. Mm-hmm. And even though they have plenty of money, this money could dwindle down into nothing.
In 2 seconds, yeah.
Quickly.
Yes, because you're talking about, for example, long-term health care. When we looked at my mother for Parkinson's, it was like Parkinson's was one of the worst, like memory care. I think it was like 10 grand or up or something here a month. Mm-hmm. And for how long? I don't know. The average is a couple of years, but it could be 5, 10 years or whatever here. A very good friend of mine, they were neighbors of my parents out there, and he's about my age, and his mother's still alive, and he just put her in a memory care. She's got Alzheimer's really bad, and I think he's spending $6,000-$8,000 a month out of his own pocket to just simply house his mother pretty much and make sure that she's okay because he can't watch her. He tried for a long time. He can't handle her anymore.
So I want to ask you a question about the short-term care. So when you said people with cancer, okay, for example, so if somebody actually has had a diagnosis of cancer in earlier in life, and I mean, a diagnosis for cancer is becoming more and more an earlier detection thing for a lot of people, right? Yeah. Are you saying that down the road they would not qualify for long-term care?
There's a five-year look period.
Okay.
You know, everybody thinks because of Obamacare, you automatically could get approved to get insured by long-term care. Long-term care is pretty hard to qualify for. So what happens is you have to answer these medical questions, and they collect this information, and we go through a series around 30, 40 questions with people, and we also do cognitive tests. And a lot of people over the age of 65, one out of four have Alzheimer's. So this is another issue.
Or some form of memory loss.
So does that disqualify them from long-term care?
Okay. Yeah, and also short-term care. So here they are. If they have any memory problems, they can't get either one. Medicare does not cover it, and neither does Obamacare.
Now, there was supposed to. There was some talk about putting some of this into Obamacare.
Correct.
Did that just get...
It did not get approved.
It didn't get approved, and that's why, because people fought it, or the cost of it, or...
There was a lot of lobbying that happened on that on everybody's side when that was being written,
but
too.
Is it just simply the... Because I think this is the question I have for both of you. What are we going to do without all this stuff? What happens when the largest demographic wave ever to hit the shores of America, the baby boom,
It's already... We're in the
60s, 70s, and we turn into our 80s and whatnot here. And lucky us, we're going to live to be 100. Who's going to take care of us? Who's going to do long-term
By the way, it's not just baby boomers. I mean, you can kick the can down say, oh, well, you know, we're learning through the baby boomer thing. You got as big a generation with millennials coming up after baby boomers. So if you don't take care of your now, you're looking at having to face it in 20 years, 20,
and is this
years.
Going to be massive bankruptcies? Is this going to be massive amount of people who have burned through their fortunes?
Yeah, it's already happening.
And families falling apart. It just seems like it's this huge wave that is already starting to happen, and still nobody wants to look at it. Obamacare, it didn't address it.
What happened, and why I'm so passionate about it, is remember Christopher Reeve?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So Christopher Reeve was in his 40s, Superman, right?
Yeah.
And look what he became. Mm-hmm. And he had to go into a long-term care facility, and Robin Williams gave him $10 million.
Really? I didn't. I knew there were roommates in acting school.
So he paid for all his long-term care. But here's somebody in your 40s, Superman. You don't think he needs long-term care.
No.
If I went to his house to pitch it, he'd look at me like I was crazy.
I'm Superman. What
right?
Are you long-term
right? So you don't know what happens to people, disability, people fall off chairs. You know, falling is our number one complaint.
Absolutely.
And as you get older, a lot of people, the equilibrium is off balance. Medications that they take.
Mm-hmm. When would be the best time to get a policy?
Yeah.
The earlier, the better.
But how early?
Sell them as young as 18.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Never heard of that. Wow. Yeah.
18 to 84, you could buy long-term care. Short-term care, you could buy it between the ages of 55 and 79. Usually long-term or short-term care does cover a facility, nursing home, assisted living, or the home, because you never know where you're going to land.
Right. But it doesn't cover 100%. There's limitations to this, right? How much they'll pay a day and cumulatively how much they'll pay out?
Well, Medicare covers right now the first 20 days of skilled facility.
Right.
But you have to spend a certain amount of days in the hospital, And you have to be able to do a certain amount of steps, meaning get better every day for Medicare to pay.
Right. You got to show improvement.
Yeah. Right, improvement. What's happening is 99% of people don't even want to go into a facility, even if it's covered for 20 days. They want to go directly home.
Right.
They don't want to get a staph infection. They don't want things to happen to them. They feel comfortable in a house. That's our own little nest, our cave.
The little safety,
yeah.
Little haven.
Right. So people want to come directly home, and that's when we call up Dan. Most insurance companies only go through licensed and bonded agencies, and you have to be approved. We're a Fortune 500 company, so we go through. They have to go through a whole bunch of paperwork to get approved with us.
Mm-hmm.
So not every 300 people in Orange County that there are long-term care companies do go through a company like ours.
But, so you're saying long-term health care or short-term health care will pay for Dan services as well as an assisted living or a nursing skilled nursing facility?
It all depends on what people could afford. What I like about our plans versus our competitors, our three competitors, is we're not a cookie-cutter plan. So if you come in to our, and I sit down with you, and I mostly go to people's houses, okay, because seniors, they feel comfortable if you come to their house, and everybody's on a fixed income, a budget. So if you tell me you have $200 a month to spend, and that's all you have, I create a plan for you to fit your needs financially.
To get as much as you can for that $200.
Because you don't want to go broke.
Right.
Hopefully you never use this and you pass in your sleep.
Right.
That's what we all wish for, right?
Yeah.
But there's a good chance you are going to use this, whether it be just for a fall, hip replacement, knee replacement, dislocated shoulders. I get calls every week.
Well, you said 70%.
Oh, yeah.
70% over the age of 65 are going to need it.
Yeah. I mean, you walk your dog, you trip on a rock.
Easy.
And one of the things, as I mentioned to you offline, we do a financial show, a financial advisor, and he talks all about how much money do you have to have set aside to cover your retirement, live the life that you've come accustomed to and whatnot. And he said more and more we're starting to think, we never thought about, as part of a financial plan, long-term or short-term health care. And he said people are starting to come to us and say it, and they're finding out that they waited too long. They're 70, and they have chronic back issues, and nope, don't qualify. They have foot problems. Oh, don't qualify. They have some memory loss. Oh, don't qualify. And they've waited too long to get these policies.
Well, what happens with long-term care is we have car insurance.
Mm-hmm.
We're insuring our houses. We're insuring our cars. We're insuring everything but ourselves.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow,
and here
that
we
says
are,
it all.
And here we are. We're living long, right? And then we don't want to be a burden on anyone because our kids have their own life.
Right.
And you don't want, as a daughter, to bathe your father.
No.
No,
right?
No. There's a
and
den
vice
there.
Versa. You know?
Been there, and it was shocking to me to have to do that. And
to take your mother.
Take your mother, and I'd have to wipe her rear end and get her
off
the toilet and
stuff.
Well,
and that's why, you know, I mean, we don't even, you know, what we didn't, when we set out to do the show, we didn't really have an idea what we're going with it. And when we ended up basically hitting on is that we're actually talking about stuff that should be being discussed more.
Yes.
There should be sort of the stigma or the hardness of this should be taken off, and we should be talking about this stuff as common as, hey, what do you want for coffee when I go down to Starbucks? Because if you don't talk about it, then it is something that we get surprised by. And even when we get surprised by it, now we're basically either paralyzed by it, or we don't know what to do with it, or we don't react to it in a timely manner. And at the end of the day,
it's
if we
ruinous.
Actually talk about it, you feel more empowered, you may explore it, and then the fear is gone off it, and then it's just reality. We got to have to deal with it.
So right now, I'm going to go up and down and ask friends of mine in my neighborhood here, people of a certain age, how many
No, they're not going to take care of you.
How many? No. Well, that was the first one.
Words out on you and your neighborhood.
No, but if I really went to my friends, and I have this large group through Facebook, people I went to high school with, college with, whatnot, if I really put it out there and said, how many of you have ever even talked about this with your spouse, with your kids, with your parents, with your family, your siblings and stuff? I bet it's really teeny tiny. Mm-hmm. And of those who did, how many of you did something about it? It's even teenier, tinier. I just think we're the Peter Pan generation. We're never going to get old. It's never going to happen. And we don't want to hear about it. We don't want to think about it. We don't want to deal with it until you have to.
Denial.
I'm going to put it out right now, and then when we're done with this, I'm going to video you, okay, and we're going to put it on the Facebook page for the Rad Life, okay? The question, Paul's question of the day is how many, if you know, you go to the Facebook page, Rad Life on Facebook, and you tell us, okay, or the OC Talk Radio, and you tell us, Have you had these conversations? Are you scared to death to even want to face the fact that you might have to have these conversations?
My wife and I still don't talk about this, and we've been through this with her parents and my parents, and we still don't want to talk about it. Her sister comes down all the time and says, well, my answer is I'm going to be healthy my whole life. I'm really into
Here's the caveat. Have you had this conversation before you had to have this conversation?
Well, no.
Okay, let us know, okay, on Facebook, on That's the Rad Life, or on OC Talk Radio. Yeah, it's 70% of people over 65 is a staggering number.
It's inevitable. It's almost
unbelievable.
It's almost inevitable. I mean, we're all going to need this at some point in our life.
You know, I'm sorry. Do you have applications? I'll fill one out now. Seriously.
And it's not expensive. You know, long-term care is not expensive. It's a couple of $100 a month.
Now, let me ask you the one question, because I did look into this once before. And some of them, though, talk about their policies that want a big lump sum. You give them $50,000, and they will pay for some. Somebody came in who were pitching one of these policies here, and it was something like, it wasn't a monthly fee. Mm-hmm. It was, you give them a chunk of change, and they will give you up to, $200,000-$300,000. It was some multiple of whatever.
Sounds like
them.
A venture capitalist.
Well, what happens is, what long-term care is, okay, is basically a pool of money, couple of $100,000, that you're using the insurance company's money, which our company's worth $14 billion, right? So that's nice to know, right?
Yeah.
So what happens is you're getting a pool of money of $200,000-$300,000 to use for Dan's company, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's probably around $200 to $300 a day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you could self-insure, probably you'll self-insure for like a month or two, right? Because now you just wasted maybe like $20,000-$25,000.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But how long could you go?
Not long.
Right?
Yes.
So it's the best way to do it is to transfer the risk to an insurance company. While you're healthy, you get these preferred rates.
And they spread it out and they amortize it.
Are tax qualified, which is great because you can write it off, especially if you're self-employed.
Yeah.
The younger you are, the least expensive it is.
Yeah.
And then you just have the policy. And like I said, if you use it, you use it. If you don't, you don't. But it's a peace of mind policy. It's something that you really should get for yourself.
Okay, so I'm about to turn 51. Okay, I'm just using myself as a guinea pig here for anybody who's listening.
He's just a wannabe baby boomer.
Stay in your baby boomer corner. Okay, but just for those who are of my age, okay?
Rough idea.
What does it cost?
Well, I'm your age.
Yeah.
So I pay $101 a month because I have long-term care.
So we get it at 50% discount, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. $200
a month. Okay.
Yeah. If you are married,
okay,
or you have a significant other, you get a 30% discount.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Honey, I love you.
You just saved me some money.
She's really listening.
Right. So. Like I said, the younger you are.
That's amazing. So that it's at 60%. So it's $60
bucks
basically for me.
And what would they give you though? What kind of lifetime cap?
Peace of mind is what it gives you.
But it doesn't pay for everything, right? Because there are different.
Yes. Again, we're running up against the hour. So I think. Well, I'd love to come back and have more about this conversation because especially, and I want to repeat, there's only four companies that do this. I mean, there's some large carriers. I had somebody from State Farm one time tell me. I'm sorry if I got this wrong, but Farmers actually said that they basically purposely did not sell long-term care insurance. They don't touch it, right?
So it's like earthquake insurance, it's such a huge number.
It would just drain them. I mean, they're just scared to death of it.
The big boys, MetLife and John Hancock, don't sell it anymore.
Which I find very interesting because MetLife is the resource on a lot of the elder care elder information, elder statistics, and demographics. That's really funny. The Snoopy doesn't cover you.
So that tells you something else, folks. If the insurance companies are scared to handle it, what do you think that's going to do to the...
I mean, Joe Cool is getting old. How is MetLife not covering? Okay, so Perry, go ahead and give people the email address, or not email address, sorry,
your
website. How do they get hold of you?
You could email me at Perry, P-E-R-R-I .Behar, B-E-H-A-R, @bankers.com. I would be happy to go over with you or your family members a free consultation just to educate you on your rights, your entitlements, on what everything is all about for either your parents, yourself, and how to save money now for your future so you don't become destitute.
And Dan, go ahead and give your information, too, again.
Yeah, our website is www.optimalseniorcare.com. My email is dan@optimalseniorcaresolutions.com. and our number is 949-535-2211. We're located in Newport Beach.
Any number for you, Perry?
Yes, you could call me at 949-510-6519.
And if anybody has any questions for either Dan or Perry, please, you can reach me, Rod, R-A-A-D, period, Gantus, G-H-A-N-T-O-U-S, at gmail.com, or you can drop us a note on Facebook at the Rod Life page or the OC Talk Radio page. You know, it just goes to show you, we just spent an hour talking about care.
Phew.
And about insurance, and these conversations can be very empowering and very difficult, but still you can navigate through them.
If the takeaway is, whether or not you want to face it or not, folks, listen to the statistics. Listen to the numbers.
70%.
You're going to talk to these two people some point in your life. You're going to need health. You're going to need help, and you're going to need long-term care.
70% of people over the age of 65 are going to need long-term care. So call Perry and talk to her now.
All right.
I know I'm going to.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.